Well, last week we finished up our series on work, and Isabel said, not carrying the big Bible today. No, I was carrying that to remind us that sometimes following God is hard work, and so I'm not saying that we won't see it again, but maybe not for a little while. But this morning we're going to start a new series, and that series is on biblical giving. And I've preached a few sermons over the years here and there, maybe one or two, on giving. I've never done a real in-depth series on giving, and so I'm really excited for that. I kind of feel like giving is one of those series or topics that's probably preached on way too much from most pastors. Maybe not, but I know when I was going to church and sitting in your position, I was never feeling like, you know, the difference between me and a breakthrough in my walk with the Lord is another sermon on giving or tithing, right? I never had that thought come to my mind. And so, but I'll be honest with you, it was actually while I was over in Africa and we were studying a series of passages on giving. And it really was just, it really touched my heart, and it made me realize that, you know what, I really do not have the right attitude about giving. And so I'm hoping that as we go through this series that you'll also have that same moment where you can see that giving is much more than just putting money in the offering plate. And so I pray that you'll be blessed by this series as much as I have been in preparing it and learning myself. So with that, we're going to start. Our sermon title today is Blessed to Give, and our the passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at is Deuteronomy 16:17. And I'm just going to turn there in my Bible real quickly. Deuteronomy 16:17 says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. And so, is a passage where God is talking to, well, actually, Deuteronomy is the recounting of the law, and God is telling this is a recounting of God telling Moses what he expects of the children of Israel. And one of the things that as pastors, you know, you get different questions, you know, like, just a lot of different questions about the Bible, about the law, about the New Testament and the Old Testament, and, you know, what is still applicable today. Obviously, we don't gather together and sacrifice bulls or sheep, right? So we're not following the law anymore. We're not under the law. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says that Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. And so, you know, this is part of the law. And so one of the questions is what is the role of the tithe or giving in regards to our Christian faith? And so that's kind of what we're going to explore a little bit. But what I wanted to draw out of this is that God desires us to give. At least he desired the children of Israel to give, right? It says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. And so every man was to bring a gift. Now, when they would go off to these different feasts, he's saying every man because every man was required to attend. Not every woman was required to attend, right? And if you think about it, this is a whole entire nation, right? The whole entire nation of Israel, every single year, three times a year, the men were supposed to appear before the Lord, right? If the whole family left, what would happen to the things at home, right? there would be problems. There would be nobody there to take care of the animals and different things like that. And so the every man is talking about the men, not necessarily the woman. But I want you to think of it more as a family unit, right? Each family, each head of household is required to appear before the Lord and to bring a gift. And so then the question might be is, well, does that still apply to today? And so I want to look at a couple of examples that we can see that this is not just something that started with the law. This is not just something that started on Mount Sinai with God giving this to Moses. As a matter of fact, the first offering that we have in Scripture is with Cain and Abel, right? Genesis chapter 4. Basically, at the very beginning, we have this testimony here. It says, "Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Right? Where did he learn that? Did he just think, "Hey, I ought to do that," right? And Abel's like, "Hey, I ought to do that too." No, they probably were taught that by their parents. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and also Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And so the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now, something that's interesting here is they both brought an offering to the Lord, right? And yet God said, "Hey, if you do well, will you not be accepted?" So Cain knew what he was supposed to bring, but he didn't bring it. He brought something different. Now, maybe it wasn't his best, because Cain brought of the fat and of the first of his flock, the firstborn. The text does not say why Cain's offering was not accepted, but it wasn't. And so he became depressed, angry, right? And so we see here all the way back at the beginning that the first two sons of Adam and Eve were to bring an offering. And there was some rules that went along with that. Obviously, this is long before the promise to Abraham. This is long before the law. But yet we do have this story. Another prominent story of giving or tithing is just a few chapters later with Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. And this is after Abraham, him and Lot and him split up, right? Because their people were starting to fight. And so they went their own ways. Lot went to the area of Sodom. And Abraham went to the east. And I think it was to the east, wasn't it? Anyway, he went to the other way. But so then Abraham found out that Lot had been kidnapped or taken captive by kings who had come down and basically went through and took over a lot of the land and basically ravaged it, took a bunch of provisions, including people and wealth, and were going back to their kingdom. And so Abraham took like 300 guys and went and fought this army and got back Lot and all of his people. And so in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham is returning victorious from the battle. And it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him," Abraham, "and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham gave to Melchizedek a tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people, the persons, and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. And so here we see another example of Abraham giving a tithe to God, right? He gave it to the priest of God, who was Melchizedek. And not only that, but we see here some additional thought process of Abraham saying that not only am I going to give to God a tithe, but I'm going to refuse riches from this other guy, right? Riches that were probably rightfully his, right? He went out and fought off the armies that they couldn't fight off and got all of their people back. You know, if you imagine if somebody came through our town and, you know, kidnapped all of our children and took all of our belongings, would you be like, hey, I don't care if you keep the stuff, just give me back my kids, right? I mean, wouldn't everybody make that deal? Yeah, absolutely. And so if somebody went after them and got all those things back, that's what the king of Sodom is saying, hey, bring us back our people and you keep the stuff. And Abraham's like, no, I'm not even going to take anything, not even a sandal strap, because I don't want to be dependent on anybody except for the Lord God Most High. My allegiance, my dependence, my everything is to honor him. And I don't want to take any honor away from my God. And so Abraham gave to God, and Abraham honored God in his financial dealings and in all of his dealings. Well, what about a little bit later here? Next we have Jacob, right? And Jacob made this kind of same deal with God. After Jacob had kind of tricked Esau out of the birthright, out of the inheritance, right? Jacob's mom finds out there's a little bit of hard feelings. And so we better get Jacob out of here because he's about to get killed. And so Jacob runs off to his uncle's. And so he's leaving. He's heading out, leaving his father's household. And now he has this appearance with God. He lays down. He has a dream. It says in Genesis 28, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder that was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That same promise that he'd given to Abraham, he's now restating to Jacob. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And so here God makes this promise to you that I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bring you back to this place. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put at his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. And so here we can see in these early examples, whether it be Cain and Abel, whether it be Abraham, or whether it be Jacob, that God wants every man, every person, to bring a gift to God, to bring a tithe to him, to be in this relationship of honoring God with not only my words, but also my finances. And so we see that every man is point one, and point two is every man shall give. Every man shall give. And what shall we give? You know, there's this verse I found in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, and I think this is such a great way to think about our giving. The king said to Arnah, no, but I will surely buy it from you. So the king is going up to make a sacrifice, and this guy says, I want to give you these animals so that you can go and make a sacrifice. Right? What does David say in response? He says, no. I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. I want you to just understand David's heart. Right? He's going up to sacrifice to God. He's going up to spend time with his Lord. And somebody says, here, let me provide for you these necessary animals that you need to make this offering. And the king says, I would not offer anything that didn't cost me something. Right? Our offering should be from our heart. It should be a sacrifice that we're making to honor our Lord. We show our worship through our sacrifice, what we give up to honor God. You know, I know that every year we have Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? And these are important holidays. Why? So that Hallmark can meet their, you know, quarterly demands? No. Right, because these people are important to us. And it's important that we understand that we appreciate, they understand that we appreciate them. And so, yes, maybe it is kind of a marketing gimmick, but it works because it fills a need. And that need is for us to appreciate the people in our life who have given sacrificially. And so we want to honor our parents. And maybe not every year, but I know looking back throughout my years, there's been several years, right, where I think, how can I honor my Father? How can I really show him how much I appreciate what he's done for me? You know, and at Christmas time, we have 7 children, right? And it's never talked about, but, you know, there's kind of this little, you know, when you're giving out your gifts to your parents, right? It's kind of a little bit of a competition, right? Like, oh, that was good, right? Oh, yeah, that was, okay, that was pretty cool, right? Because why? We want to honor our parents. And I think we should have that same attitude when we come to worship our God. Matter of fact, it should be much greater because not only is God our Father, but he's our Creator. He is our life. He is our Redeemer. He is everything. He provides the air that we need to breathe. And so when we come to worship him, it should be with the idea of, I am here to honor you. And to come with nothing to give honor to God, it just seems like, wow, that's not really the right attitude that we ought to have. Well, the verse before, Deuteronomy 16:17, is Deuteronomy 16:16. And here he tells everyone that they have to come to these 3 feasts, which he's outlined in the previous 15 verses. It says, 3 times a year, all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. At the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, at the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Anybody ever go to a birthday party and not bring a gift? I've kind of done that, right? And you kind of like, oh, feels awkward, right? Now, the people inviting you to the birthday party doesn't necessarily, a lot of times they'll say, hey, don't worry about bringing a gift. They just want people to come and enjoy time with them, right? But you're there to celebrate this person, and to show up without something to offer them seems kind of taboo. But here God is saying, hey, not only do I want you to come to this place of worship and to gather together for this special festival, I am telling you it is important for you not to come empty-handed. There should be a gift. And we show our worship as we give back to the Lord. Because the other part of this is that each man shall give as he is blessed. God is not giving to, not demanding from us something he hasn't already given to us. Deuteronomy 16:17, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. God has blessed you. And as we recognize God's blessings, we ought to give back to him, honor him with what he has given to us. And this is how we learn to worship God. This is one of the ways that we learn to worship God. Deuteronomy chapter 14, just a couple chapters back. It says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before you. And you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates,
for he has no part or inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all of the work your hand, in all the work of your hand which you do. And so here, God is saying that the reason that I want you to bring this tithe, does God need us? Does God need our resources? Does God need my, you know, little bit of money that I put into the offering plate? Or even if it's a lot of money that I put into the offering plate, right? We know that story where Jesus was watching the people putting their money in the offering plate, and a bunch of people were making a big show about their big coins of purses, and they're going over there and dropping it into the offering basket, making sure everybody heard all those coins going all the way down, right? And then some other little lady just comes in and quietly puts in two little coins. And what did Jesus say? She gave much more than the rest of them, because she gave all that she had. That was all that she had. She gave it to God. And God is saying, it is important for you to bring a tithe. Why? So that you can learn what? So that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And come into his presence with rejoicing. Because all that we have belongs to God. Everything that we have is God's. You know, we know the verse that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Matter of fact, he owns everything. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 21 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. And therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." The reality is God has everything. Everything is his. He doesn't need anything from us. But because he is worthy of our worship, and because he wants us to learn to fear and respect him, he says, it is important that you come and bring something to offer in worship to our Lord. But God is not just another bill on the calendar, right? He says, I want you to give out of the blessings that you have received. And so I want you to think, as we close up our message this morning, I want you to think about this. How have I been blessed? How have I been blessed? And how can I give back to the Lord to show him how much I appreciate his blessing in my life? And if your answer is, well, I haven't, Well, that's maybe where we need to have a conversation. Because if you live in Parkston, South Dakota, you are blessed. I was just talking to Samson this week about what it means to follow Jesus in his country versus what it means to follow Jesus in ours. We are so richly blessed. And then I was watching this video about a man, and he was arguing with some Muslim men. And the question was, is, as a Muslim, if you died today, do you know if you would go to heaven? And their answer is no. There's nothing in their Bible that says if you do this, this, and this, you will be received. You will be accepted. Only the Christian Bible gives us that promise. That if we come to God and we say, God, please forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. I'm going to commit my life to you. That he is just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Right? John said at the end of his book, I wrote these things down so that you can know that you have eternal life. We can stand here today and know that we have eternal life. If that isn't a blessing, I think we're not quite understanding the concept. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would begin to understand this concept that having you as our God is more than just having somebody who well wishes us. It's not just a genie in a bottle that we rub and we pray and say, God, do this for me. Lord, you are the God that created everything. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing outside of your power. And it is your plan that will stand in the end. When all else fails, your word remains true. And so there is an awe and a reverence that we ought to have for you. And the reality is, Lord, we live in a time and in a culture where there is no reverence for anything. And yet, you instruct us to fear and revere you. So, Lord, I pray that we begin to understand that relationship that you desire to have with us. Lord, that you want to bless us. You want to greatly bless us. You want to pour out blessings upon us. And you have poured out blessings upon us. But so oftentimes, Lord, rather than giving you the credit that you deserve, we just chalk it up to, well, that's the natural things, the natural laws. That's just the way things go. Or that was a coincidence. Oh, that was lucky. And we don't give you the credit that you deserve. We don't appreciate what you've done for us. We just take your love for granted. And because of that, we don't give you back the honor and the gift that you deserve. And so, Lord, I pray that as we begin this series on giving, Lord, that we would understand your heart. It's not because you need what we have, but it's because we need to give to honor you that you asked us to bring a gift. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to re-examine our hearts. It's not just about our money, although that's important, but our time, our energy, our strength, the words that we speak. Lord, all of those have to do honoring you and giving to you our life, which is what you ask most of all. Our heart, our life, our energy, our attention, our time, those are the most precious things we have. And Lord, I pray that we would commit them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we have one final song. If you would stand, and we will sing.